The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Abraham Donko. In the headlines, Western Regional GGA condemns presidential staffer Stan Dugby for his lack of sympathy to journalists involved in recent accident. Government invests $1.5 billion in facilities across the country. Jacob Kaur confirmed Director General of GES. MP for Amenfi West, John Jichia, passes on, and bomb blast in Maiduguri kills 7 and injure 11. At first, a summary with Jonathan Thompson.
The Western Regional Chapter of the GGA has decried comments by presidential staffer Stan Dugby, which they say downplays the recent accidents involving some journalists in the region. Chairman of the chapter, Moses Aklobotu, said Stan Dugby did not show sympathy to journalists in his comments on the accident when he was called to correct an information on the incident. Member of Parliament for Amenfi West in the Western Region, John Jitia, is reported dead. The MP, who died at the 37 military hospital in Accra yesterday, was said to have been ill for the past 2 years. And there have been 3 bomb blasts in Nigeria's city of Maiduguri, killing about 7 people. The blast, which occurred last night in the Ajilari Cross area, is said to have left 11 more injured. Authorities have blamed Boko Haram insurgents for the explosions as the military continues to battle the group.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information.
The news now in detail. The Western Regional Chapter of the Ghana Journalists Association comments by presidential staffer Stan Dugby sought to discredit the accident involving journalists from the region after covering the president last Monday are unfortunate. The chairman of the Western Regional Chapter of the GGA, Moses Aklobotu, said he is disheartened by the lack of acknowledgement of the work of journalists in the region by the presidential staffer Stan Dugby. He told Radio Ghana that Stan Dugby failed to show sympathy to the Inki fraternity in his comments when he was called to correct the information on the accident involving some journalists in the Western region.
It is true that it's not the presidential convoy or the presidential press corps that is involved in the accident. It's actually some of the members from the Western Regional Press Corps that are involved in the accident. At least if you are able to correct the misinformation, which probably might be triggered by the fact that we are just waking up from the shock of what happened recently that claimed the life of our colleague, the New York Times reporter, it is just right that you understand how the social media descended on the issue. They were not using the full complement of all the media houses in the country. Therefore, if you are here and you don't want to recognize, he stated in some of his responses that he didn't even see any media house that were there. It is true. Watch carefully. GBC Radio wasn't there. Twin City was here to cover up. DNA is not there. We have a regional GNN to cover up. We have several other media houses that were not part of the team this time around with the president. Therefore, if your focus as a communication officer at the presidency is to ensure total dissemination of the president's work, good work, I believe so much that you would have been happy to see the enthusiasm at which the media greeted the president's arrival and pay that respect to them. At least it will not cost Mr. Dugby anything if he should correct the issue and say, oh, it is true that there was an accident, though it's not involving any member of the president's team or the press corps, but the regional media, then, and we commentary with them or this and that. That will not change anything. But for you to make them look as if they are not welcome, it's bad.
Is the GGA happy with the treatment of journalists, especially when journalists go on location?
No, I will say that here in the Western region, the regional minister, Paul Evans Edu, and then the Mr. Alfred Ekonjan are actually one of the most friendliest we ever had in this region. And unless the media didn't ask for a support, but I don't know what arrangements were this time round.
Mr. Klobotu said it is high time media organizations invested in the human capital and the well-being of their staff.
I've always said this in several forums. So look, news is very expensive to produce. News is extremely expensive. Getting it and making sure it's accurate and timely, you will have to invest so much in it. I believe my media house know very well that the president is coming, and the presidential correspondent was here. We were in contact until he arrived here. He arrived, he called me, I met up with him. We mapped up exactly what to do and what not to do. If the media people were to take the responsibility or to know when to go for and invest in the news that they want to put there, make sure that we need to resource our regional and even people working with them within the local newsroom, I believe all these things wouldn't have arisen. Because if my media house that I work for actually resource and make sure that everywhere and expenses that I incur in line of duty is taken care of, I'm always motivated to move that. But we can actually reach there. This is the time that I think we have to actually make sure that, look, if you really want to do news, the best thing to do is to be ready to invest in news and make sure you get it running as a proper newsroom. It is not easy. It is not just a cheap thing, giving microphone to people to go and record and come and play. It takes more than that. You need to invest in them, pay them well, resource them well, so that they will do the job without looking back on anybody for a favor or anything to go with.
You heard the president of the Western Regional Chapter of the GJA, Moses Aklobotu. President John Mahama yesterday took Exchanging Lives and Transforming Ghana Forum under his transformation agenda to the Central Region. He told the packed auditorium of the Center for National Culture that the 8 months of his first term was very difficult, as the Supreme Court case made it hard for the government to mobilize resources for development. President Mahama said the live beaming of the Supreme Court case occupied the concentration of all Ghanaians. President Mahama told the people to be proud of the record of the NDC, even in difficult times. He said the government has invested $1.5 billion in improving health facilities across the country.
In the first year, we could hardly do anything. But by God's grace, the Supreme Court affirmed the verdict of the people. And we have been working since then. It is obvious that the development projects and the other facilities that we promised in our manifesto and on the campaign trail, we are fulfilling systematically, one after the other, especially in Central Region. At the time I became president, one of the projects that was dear to Professor Mills' heart was the modernization of the Kotokraba market. You yourselves can see the progress of work that is going on there. We also were pursuing the Cape Coast Stadium, and we got the financing, and that stadium is progressing very well. Aside from that, Commander Sugar Factory, which is part of our agenda for transformation, because one of the things that we have set ourselves to do in order that our economy can grow is to cut down on the unnecessary foreign exchange we use in importing things that we can produce locally. We have done electricity projects, the Sacher water project has been done. We secured additional financing for the extension of the water, and that is going to Parliament currently. Immediately we commissioned the Community Day Senior Secondary School. 1,500 applications were received from children to go to that school. It means that if we had not built that school, 1,500 children would have finished DHS and not be able to continue their education. You say free education. There are several of the students who will not benefit because they cannot find access to go to school. Our program was to improve access and then introduce the free education progressively, as the Constitution has said. And with the 123 secondary schools we are building, 240,000 Ghanaian children can now get space in secondary school who would not have continued into secondary school after DHS because there was no space.
President Mahama said ongoing reforms in the NDC is to give power to the people to select their parliamentary candidates and a flag bearer. He said the November 7 primaries is a dress rehearsal for the national elections.
This time we are aiming to get 55%. And like we said, we are aiming to increase the seats from 16 to what? 20. Means hard work, unity. We must all come together. You say we are building community day schools, and you think you can use misinformation to say that it's hocus-pocus and that there are no community day schools. The schools are there in the community. And we said we'll build 200. So far, 123 are ongoing at different stages of completion. If you are not asleep, nobody can wake you up. All night.
President John Mahama. General Secretary of the NDC, John Snesiedu Nketiah, described the NDC as the most organized and most peaceful party in the country. He urged supporters to maintain high standards, so that the party will continue to remain in power for a long time. Meanwhile, President John Mahama says he first has to be endorsed by the party before he gets the mandate to select his running mate. He indicated that after his endorsement, he has to consult with the leadership of the NDC before naming his running mate for the 2016 elections. President Mahama said this on Radio Ghana's Twin City Radio.
And I'm going around and I'm talking to them and asking for their mandate and their full endorsement. I started with Western Region because they say the best comes from the West. So I started with Western Region. I'm going to Central Region and then at the weekend I'll be in Eastern Region.
Your running mate, has it been confirmed already?
You can't have a running mate when you are not yet a candidate. And so I cannot be selecting a running mate when my party, I've not got the endorsement of my party. You have to be endorsed first. And the party must give you the mandate. And then based on the mandate, you announce who your running mate will be. And there's a procedure for doing that. It's done in consultation with the party. And so I'm not going to second guess or prejudice what that procedure will be.
So that has not been settled on yet?
No. Right now we're focusing on selecting the candidate. And once that is done, then we'll look at that.
You talked about your expectations for November 7th or in the party's primaries. What about December 7th, 2016? What are your expectations?
I think that the good people of Ghana are descending and they will make a choice come December 7th.
What do you mean by that, Your Excellency?
We have worked sufficiently to earn an endorsement of the good people of Ghana to continue very useful programs that we have begun. And I'm confident that Ghanaians are descending and can see that the work we have done is worthy of giving us a second term. And so I expect that we will win a good victory, one touch by the grace of God.
That was President Mahama. The Deputy Executive Director of the Center for Energy Policy, Ben Bwachi, says the consequence will be dire if Nigeria goes by its threats to cut gas supply to Ghana over debt. He said the debt, which is over $180 million, is too huge for any nation to bear. He told Radio Ghana that the country will spend money to buy gas to power the generators. If setting the debt is not done swiftly, he explained the causes of the problem.
I think the figure is quite speculative. We don't know exactly how much, but we understand it's in the region of $180 million.
How come we've not been able to pay all this while?
That is a big question. I mean, this is gas we buy to generate power, and the power is not given to us for free. We pay for it. So you would expect that even if we are owing not that magnitude, and over the years, we see that debt grow and accumulate to the extent that we are now being threatened that they're going to cut supply to Ghana. That the implication could be dire if that is allowed to happen, and I hope that it doesn't happen. Because we have the Tema enclave, about 420 megawatts of generation equipment using gas. So if that is cut off, then you can imagine that we're going to lose about 400 megawatts of power in addition to what we are experiencing now, and that could be very detrimental.
That means that the doomsaw would have to be intensified.
Exactly. The alternative probably would be that we'll have to go and buy a more expensive fuel, distillate fuel, for some of the plants that can actually switch from gas, like the thermal 1 and 2. But plants like Asogi, which is wholly gas, it means that 200 megawatts, nothing can be done about it. We cannot use it, and therefore that will be a significant shortfall in the supply of electricity.
How different is this gas from Nigeria to that of a travel gas?
They are all gas. I mean, they could have some properties that differentiate them, but not significantly. It will be the same gas that can be used. But the challenge is that we didn't plan well as a country. We knew our own gas was coming. We knew that there was a gas that extends Accra. We could have just connected our gas pipeline to the West African gas pipeline by negotiating for the West African gas pipeline to allow us to have access to their pipeline so that we can reverse the gas from Atuabo, Tema in times like this. But unfortunately, we did not plan to get that process initiated in time to allow us to send gas from Jubilee Field, Tema. And that is where the challenge is. So you may even have gas stranded in the Western Corridor, so you cannot bring it to Tema. So you end up burning gas.
That was the Deputy Executive Director of the Center for Energy Policy, Ben Bwachi, talking to Agatha Samoa. The Ministry of Gender, Children and Social Protection is expecting the effective implementation of a law on social protection next year. The Sector Minister, Nanoye Lifa, said this in Accra at the opening of a stakeholders' meeting on the validation of the social protection policy document. the law will enable the country to achieve its social development goals. Nanoye Lisa said social protection is an effective tool that will help address poverty, vulnerability and exclusion. Rosalind Ganyaglu has more.
The final validation meeting created the platform for a wider stakeholder engagement on the draft policy, taking into consideration other social and economic sector policies. The social policy development process, which started in January last year, will end by the 31st of this month with a presentation of the draft policy document to Cabinet. The Minister for Gender, Children and Social Protection, Nana Oyelisa, said a well-coordinated intersectorial social protection system will enable people to live in dignity through income support and livelihood empowerment systems.
We want to ensure that our social protection policy is coherent with other social and economic sector policies, so that we are, as a country and as a government, able to achieve our social development goals. We want to ensure that the proposed objectives and strategies of our policy actually address the issues on the ground. Our policy has to be pragmatic and has to be implementable. We will provide social protection for the extremely poor and vulnerable in Ghana. It is our aim to reduce poverty by 50% by 2025 and at the same time increase access to formal social security to 50% for Ghanaians by 2025. We will ensure that the achievements are sustained with legislation.
Nanoye Lisa said the Ghana National Household Registry will start next week to help provide a single database of extremely poor households.
Rosalind Ganyaglu reporting. The Ghana Water Company Limited, GWCL, says the country's water demand by 2020 will be 5.13 billion cubic meters. The chief manager of the GWCL, Richard Apiaotu, disclosed this in Accra at a symposium on the state of Ghana's water resources. The event forms part of activities to mark the 50th anniversary of the GWCL. Mr. Otu said the company between 2005 and 2014 systematically monitored water resources to give a more accurate picture of the quality of water in the country. He stated that the water quality monitoring process across the country covered 32 river stations, 9 reservoirs and lake stations. Here's a report by Nathaniel Nati and Jessica Isidu.
The Ghana Water Company Limited, which was established in 1965, is the sole water supplier in the urban areas. The company, which has 3,400 workers, operates 88 systems nationwide with a current coverage at 77%. $1.5 billion have been spent over the past 3 years on equipment and personnel to improve the quality of water for consumers. The company expects about $2 billion to achieve 100% coverage by 2025. The chief manager of the Ghana Water Company Limited, Richard Apiaotu, spoke to Radio Ghana on some challenges and what they are doing to ensure consumers get quality water.
The issue of illegal mining, which they call Galamsey, is polluting raw water bodies.
That report was filed by Nathaniel Nati and Jessica Isidu. The Ghana Health Service says it has revised its notes on how to make life easier for adolescents. The service has, in this vision, intensified information flow to teenagers on sexual reproductive health. The Director General of the service, Dr. Ebenezer Apiadintra, told newsmen in Accra that the commitment has become necessary because the fertility rate among adolescents has increased, with many more adolescents becoming gullible as far as sexual reproductive health is concerned, the Tampa Bintetta reports.
The right of education and the right to correct information on sexual reproductive health have been the cause of many teenage pregnancies in the country. Most of the time, when adolescents lack these requisite information, they fall to the dangers associated with sexual health. At a media seminar, it was revealed that the only way to reduce the trend is to provide family planning education to all sexually active individuals, concerns, 16% of abortions among adolescents ranges between 15 to 19 years. Again, 3 out of 5 pregnancies are unplanned among adolescents. The Director General of the Ghana Health Service, Dr. Ebenezer Piadentra, is of the view that this is a worrying trend and the service cannot remain unconcerned. He called on families, parents, churches and schools to show concern to adolescent sexual reproductive health.
It's very crucial. How can you grow up, you want to learn a trade, you want to go to school, and you don't know about your own body? You should understand the future of your body, that your body will change, that there will be contours to your face, there will be auditability, your muscles will grow. And you should also understand that the time will come when your feeling for the opposite sex will be stronger. These are certain basic things you need to understand. There used to be a book, courtesy for boys and girls. I like that book. It tells you that when you're staying with a boy or a lady in a room, make sure the doors are open.
The engagement with the media on adolescent sexual reproductive health is to encourage journalists to put out the right information to the public on the subject. Dr. Edward Enchi is with the Family Health Division of the Ghana Health Service.
The essence of this training is to empower the media and the journalists with information on adolescent health, so that you can also help educate both the adolescents, the youth, and society at large. And the overall aim is to get our youth to make healthy choices, because this is a very important stage in their life.
According to a national survey conducted by the Ghana Health Service, sexually active persons do not prefer to use contraceptives. For instance, 1 out of 5 married women frowns on family planning methods, yet 1 in 3 wants to delay pregnancy and space birth but do not use contraceptives. The Ghana Health Service says one of the strategies that policymakers can consider to reduce the country's economic and population challenge is by enforcing family planning policies at all levels. A 20-minute documentary was premiered to give insights to journalists on the current adolescent sexual health situation in Ghana. Rita Mpabintete reporting for Radio Ghana.
This news comes to you from Radio Ghana. Accra, the major stories. Western Regional GGA condemns presidential staffer Stan Dugby for his lack of sympathy to journalists involved in recent accident. Government invests $1.5 billion in health facilities across the country. Jacob Kaur confirmed Director General of GES. MP for Amenfi West joined the chair passes on, and bomb blasts in Maiduguri, Nigeria, kill 7 and injure 11. Please stay with us. Welcome back. President John Mahama, in consultation with the Ghana Education Service Council and the Public Service Commission, has confirmed the appointment of Mr. Jacob Kaur as Director General of the Ghana Education Service. The Japanese ambassador to Ghana, Kaoru Yoshimura, says that since December 2009, the University of Ghana Nevin Crimshaw International Nutrition Foundation and Ajinomoto have been engaged in a collaborative effort to tackle malnutrition among infants in Ghana. He said the partnership became necessary as studies indicated that about 23% of children are stunted, while about 57% are anemic. Mr. Yoshimura said this at a complimentary food project dissemination workshop at the University of Ghana. Frida Tanyo was there for Radio Ghana.
The Japanese ambassador to Ghana announced that the Japanese government has provided $2 million to help deal with the malnutrition situation in the country.
The aim to exercise a solution to the problem of nutrition in Ghana by utilizing the party's experiences and technical know-how. To achieve this goal, the government of Japan has provided $2 million. The government of Japan is committed to playing a role in the public-private partnership towards nutrition improvement in the global nutrition for growth.
The project director of Joint Complementary Food Project, Professor Tano Deborah, said children between 6 and 24 months were selected from Fantaman, Ekumfi, and Abrase Bukwamanke districts in the central region to test the effectiveness of the supplement.
Frida Tano filed that report. The death was reported of John Jitia, Member of Parliament for Amenfi West, at the 37th Military Hospital in Accra yesterday after a protracted illness. Speaking to Radio Ghana, the Western Regional Organizer of the NDC, Japhet Beidou, confirmed the sad news and said the party has lost a pillar. Three blasts last night hit the city of Maiduguri in northeast Nigeria, killing 7 people, with 11 victims sustaining various degrees of injury. Authorities report that the huge explosions happened in the Ajilare Cross area of the city, which has been targeted by similar attacks twice last month, including September 20, when 117 people were killed. And now to end the news, the main points again. The Western Regional Chapter of the Ghana Journalists Association has decried the comments that presidential staff Hassan Dupi, which they say downplays the recent accident involving some journalists in the region. Chairman of the chapter, Moses Akolobotu, said Standube did not show sympathy to journalists in his comments on the accident when he was called to correct the information on the accident. And there have been 3 bomb blasts in Nigeria's city of Maiduguri, killing about 7 people. The blast, which occurred last night in the Ajilare Cross area, is said to have left 11 more injured. And that ends the news with Abraham Donko.